This show was recorded live on Monday, November 2nd, 2015.
Now, back to some ass-kicking shiznit from NullSoft Shoutcast.
This is the show that nobody told you about. This is the show that your brother warned you about. This is the show that you probably shouldn't be listening to. This is
Jaipa.
My goodness. Hello, everyone. This is Anthony from Tampa.
And hey, everybody. This is Joe from Chicago.
Hi. It's your lovable artificial intelligence unit, Betty. My Betolio is buzzing with excitement for tonight's broadcast.
And you're listening to
WEED Chiampa.
Episode 21, I'm down to white wine, hiccup, from November 2nd, 2015. And now for the weather, Anthony, how is it in Tampa for those tampons?
Well, thank you for asking, Betty. Right now, for us tampons, we do have a hazardous weather condition outlook going on. I guess we're expecting some storms to move through the local Hillsborough counties and Pinellas and everything else. But it doesn't seem to be all that big of a deal because there's really no rain in the forecast. Right now, it is 81 degrees with a humidity of 79%, winds out of the south at 7 miles an hour. Dew point of 74 degrees Fahrenheit. For tonight, there's a 20% chance of showers before 7 o'clock. It is now 7:30. Partly cloudy with a low around 75. Some light breezes out of the southwest. Tuesday, we're going to have a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 1. Partly sunny with a high near 88. And winds out of the south-southeast at 5 to 7 miles an hour, becoming light and variable in the afternoon. Not much rain. And then Tuesday night, so another 20% chance of showers before 1 o'clock in the morning. Mostly cloudy with low about 73. Wind out of the north at 5 miles an hour.
Thanks, Anthony. And now for your Chicago weather. Take it away, Joe.
Hey, everybody. It's Joe in Chicago, and I've got a nifty new weather page for you guys. But apparently right now, at 6:32 Central Time here in Chicago, there's a few clouds. It's 67 degrees.
Ooh.
And if you're in a European country or just somewhere else other than the United States, that means it's 19 degrees centigrade.
I can never understand centigrade.
It's easier, but eh. Humidity is at 44%. The wind speed is... So the winds are coming from the south at 9 miles per hour.
Per hour.
9 miles per hour.
There you go.
The barometer is 29.97 inches. The dew point is at a comfortable 44 degrees. Visibility is at 10 miles. And for tonight, it will be mostly clear with a low around 53. South to southwest winds will be 5 to 10 miles per hour, with gusts as high as 15 miles per hour.
Ooh.
Tuesday, it will be sunny with a high near 69. South to southwest winds will be 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tuesday night, it will be partly cloudy with a low around 55, with south winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 70. So, like, what happened between Wednesday and Tuesday night? I don't get it. But whatever. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts as high as 15 miles per hour. Not Wednesday, like, partly cloudy with a low around 57, so it starts to get colder. Thursday, partly sunny with a high 67. And, you know, the temperatures start to dip around to the 50s and 40s on Saturday and Sunday. And that is your Chicago weather. Folks, we've got a poll for you tonight.
Ooh, a poll.
We have a poll.
Poll.
Yes, we have a special guest coming up a little bit later in the show. Uh-huh. And so this poll tonight is to do with one of the questions that we're going to ask our special guest. And the poll question is, which word do you prefer when we talk about weed? You have five choices. One, cannabis. Two, marijuana. Three, weed. Four, pot. Five, medicine. You can vote on this poll by going to shyampa.info. The poll is the big, bright green box on the right-hand side of our awesome new webpage. We'll give you a little background as to why we chose this poll when we talk live with our guest, Leslie Kahn, also known as Soapbox Mama, coming up later in the show. And now, it's Joe and Anthony. Hey, Anthony, how's it going tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you? My goodness, that was quite an intro.
Quite a production.
Quite a production, but it was good.
So we're legal now. We're 21.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe we'll make it to 30. 35. That's a good one. God, 400.
Yeah. Right. So is that one person in the background that we absolutely love?
Yeah, exactly. So I was sitting at a traffic light today, and I was thinking, because I was actually listening to the station through my phone, and it had turned into one of those situations where I started thinking, because we had made a comment that, or I had made a comment, we only had 400 more episodes to go. And I thought to myself, and I'm like, how many weeks is that? And I'm like, well, you can get 50 weeks out of a year if you only take 2 weeks off. And I'm like, all right. So it would take us about four years to get the, because we can get 50 episodes a year. So, actually, no. So, 2, 4.
We can get 200
five,
episodes a year.
Six. So we would have to do 200 episodes a year. How do we get 200 episodes a year?
Maybe I am confused.
There's only 52 weeks in a year.
So we're doing 4 episodes a month times 12. Okay. Yeah, it's going to take us a while.
Yeah, about 5 years.
Yeah. But you know, that's okay. We don't even have to think about it.
No, that's fine. It's all good. It's all good.
I mean, if you think about it in terms of like you're in prison, then it might be important.
Yeah, 8 years. 8 years. Less a day. Less a week. 8 years less a week.
I'm not so good sometimes. You know, I was also thinking about that same thing because I was listening to the station this morning. I love listening to it in the morning. There's always something invigorating, whether it's the Illinois Labor, International Labor Hour.
Okay, yeah.
Or sometimes I catch, it's one of the music shows. Can't remember which one it is, but I love it. It's just, it's engaging.
Is it a weekend or a weekday show?
You know, I think it's a weekend show.
Okay. Then it's probably Global or Go-Go.
Yes. It's always got something fun, you know, right in that morning hour when I'm waking up and I just need something bright and cheery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they always have good tracks that they're spinning on the whole thing. And
yes.
A lot of good stuff that kind of get you going. Get yourself vibrating and moving throughout the day.
And you know what? I don't know about you, but today I did actually move around quite a bit. As much as I sat, I also moved.
That's good.
You know, take care of some errands and do all that. But it was just absolutely gorgeous out today. The temperatures were like in the mid 70s.
Oh, nice.
Very little humidity, so you could walk around with just like a windbreaker, or heck, you could probably wear shorts if you wanted to, but it's been uncharacteristically warm here in Chicago.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, it gets you out to enjoy the weather a little bit.
Exactly.
I know I enjoyed some warm weather when I was there a couple weeks ago. That was quite enjoyable.
Well, except for that morning when you woke up and it was freezing cold.
Yeah, that was a bit of an issue. But you know what? Then it was nice. The rest of the week it was beautiful. So I won't complain too much about it, you know.
So what's the current allergy situations like in Florida? Because I got to tell you, here in Chicago, you know, part of my trip this morning on the train was the fact that I kind of like looked at everybody to see what their general facial mood was.
Their general facial mood.
Yeah, well, you can kind of tell when people are not feeling good, or if they have headaches, or if they're just in some kind of distress, especially when it's caused by allergies. And, you know, you get the runny eyes and the runny nose and the red eyes, I mean.
I guess that would make sense.
Yes.
Allergy is poor. It's a poor allergy day.
It's a poor allergy day?
It's a poor allergy day. Tuesday is supposed to be good. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are also supposed to be good. But today, the other day was really bad. I think actually some of my sickness was more allergies than it was being sick.
Ah.
I think it was one of those things. Because I remember I looked at it one day when I was not feeling too good, and it said it was like extreme. The allergens were extreme. And I'm like, holy shit. And I'm like, well, I feel like crap too. Maybe it's just the allergies making me feel like this, you know?
Yeah.
It's possible.
But you actually got me hooked on to that Weather Channel app. I really like
it. I do. I do like it. It's very useful for checking weather when you're out and about.
If you have a smartphone, yeah, check it out. It's probably in the iOS store as the Weather Channel app, and it's in the Google Play store as the Weather Channel app.
Mm-hmm.
Download it. Install it. It's really cool. It gives you a lot of good detailed info. And you'll be able to be prepared for the day if there's going to be a lot of allergies or pollen or mold or any of that, because, ooh, it's hitting. It's hitting hard, and it makes it more difficult, especially for us, when it's not cold, because things tend to linger.
That's true. That's very true. That's a very good point.
Yes. So, but folks, we got a really cool show for you tonight. Coming up a little bit later, we're going to have a guest.
Yes, we will. That's awesome. We don't know if we will break the system in the process, so please stay with us. And
bear with us on this.
Bear with us as much as you can, you know, and sometimes, you know, just might happen. Just have to hang tight with us.
No.
Exactly.
If you want to give us a call, please do so by dialing 813-327-8566. Do this from your landline, your rotary, your touch tone, your cell phone, your flip phone, whatever it is that you've got, dial it.
Your Vodafone.
Even your Vodafone.
Or even your Vodafone.
I wonder if anyone still has a brick phone. No, they wouldn't work anymore.
No, they wouldn't work anymore. Totally wouldn't work anymore. But you can also contact us as well on Skype. We actually have a Skype account that you can call into. If you search for us on Skype, it's just Chiampa, Chiampa dot radio, and you can go ahead and also give us a call that way. We'd love to hear from you, because hearing from you is phenomenal, and we like phenomenal things.
We like to hear from you all the times. And and not only do we have a special guest, but we do have two new Joe Wisdoms. I guess Joe Wisdom got a
room.
Ooh,
do we?
Like,
is Joe Wisdom in the communal audio data folder?
No, Joe Wisdom is residing on my server at the moment. So I can play Mr. Joe Wisdom.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. We can work with that.
But
I have to throw one in there right now. I have to. Because I love... Let me see. I'm going to do a quickie. Because you have to go to news in a few moments. My favorite one.
What's your favorite one?
When your check engine light turns on, that means the world is flat. Another wisdom provided to you by Joe Wisdom.
You know, I had a quick conversation with Joe Wisdom on...
Did you know?
What he was thinking about when he made that wisdom.
Yeah, and what did he have to say about himself?
Well, you know, he was trying to get at the fact that people today seem to have absolutely zero grounding in any sort of realism about anything in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it seems like complete chaos makes complete sense. You know, obviously when your check engine light turns on in your car, that means you probably need to go get your engine checked out. Something's going on.
Your world has gone flat.
You know, but for some people, the world just goes flat. It's as if though they can just fall off a cliff and, you know, blue, black, white smoke, whatever color comes out the back of the car. It's just a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, it is. It really is. We must reflect on those and think about what it's like to be a lady.
Yes. If you walk out the door and you're a lady and you've got on one flat and one pump, consider yourself lucky. Another Wisdom by Joe Wisdom. Do you have wisdom to share?
Yeah, that folks, one, that always amused me.
A little, well, you know what? I've got news.
Kinda, maybe. It's here somewhere. Hold on. There we go.
And now for the news.
Hey, good evening, everybody, from the Chiampa Chicago studio. This is Joe, and here's your latest 420 news. Washington State driver ticketed for using zombie baby in carpool lane. Ooh. A Washington State driver thought he could trick his way through the carpool lane, but cops weren't fooled by his undead occupant. Washington State Patrol said the man had buckled in a zombie baby doll complete with a blood-smeared grin in his car before crossing into the high occupancy lane.
Nice.
Tuesday morning commute on Interstate 5 near Tacoma. An eagle-eyed trooper caught the riding dead dummy, decked out in a pink onesie and black hat on the passenger side.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. The state trooper Guy Gill said the violator was pulled over and given something far more scarier, a $136 ticket.
Wow.
But the man was let off the hook when the agency gave him a break for not having a car seat, Gill joked. At least he's in the Hollywood spirit, or Halloween spirit. So that's kind of funny. You know, it's like, I've never heard of those lanes before until I went to California.
Oh, yeah. They tend to be more popular out west anyway, because they're definitely not popular down here.
No. And, you know, here in Illinois, it's, you have express lanes, but anybody can use them.
Use an express
lane. Yeah. So, you know, I have to say, in terms of, like, sexuality, some things are just still taboo. Like this guy, for instance. A naked Oregon burglar crawls into bed with couple and discovers man has a gun. An Oregon man was arrested Thursday after he broke into a Portland home, stripped naked, crawled into bed with the couple who lived there, and kissed the man, who turned out to have a gun, police said.
Oh, nice.
Yes, an incident report says DeFutis broke into the home around 3:40 a.m.,
okay,
which would be 6:40 in your neck of the woods, on Thursday, and began gathering items of value. But then he removed all of his clothes and climbed into bed with the unidentified man and woman who lived there. And for some reason,
wow,
he kissed the man.
Wow. That's kind of crazy.
The man woke up to find the burglar sitting on top of him, holding a knife, police said. When the man pulled a gun, the burglar hurried out, put his pants on, and fled. Chased by the now fully awake man, he fired 3 shots but missed. Now, this DeFutis apparently has an extensive arrest record in Oregon and California. He was arrested in a vacant house nearby.
Okay.
And he was treated at a hospital for possible drug-related symptoms. So, they didn't identify the victims, which probably is a good thing. But apparently there's no charges. This guy just got away with this. I don't know how. What's going on with people? You needed to access the database on that one. I understand.
It's a little tight tonight. The database is a little tight tonight. Yeah. The access is a little tight.
Yeah. Well, your access could get a whole lot more painful if you followed this latest story, the U factor. About 1,000 bees delay an American Airlines flight in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Oh, wow.
I am deathly afraid of bees, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, so this story really hit home for me.
Okay.
Around 1,000 ticketless passengers attempted to board an American Airlines flight in Texas, causing commotion in the cabin and delaying the jetliner for more than an hour. Mm-hmm. Now, this wasn't a case of double-booked seats. The unwelcome travelers were bees. Mm-hmm. The pilot said a queen bee had flown into the airliner's wing while it was waiting to depart Dallas-Fort Worth, according to a reporter from NBC station KCBV. Mm-hmm. Around 1,000 bees followed the queen, and experts in protective suits had to be sent to remove them. There was a lot of updates on Twitter and Facebook, because, you know, those are the things to do now. You just update Twitter, Facebook, social media. Go, 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 go. She posted images of passengers peering out of the plane's windows as someone worked under its right wing.
Wow.
So, you know, that's kind of scary. It's like, you know, you don't want all that.
Depends what kind of bees they were. If they were honeybees, they're usually not too bad. My dad has honeybees. He makes his own honey. It's delicious.
Yeah, but all those bees in an enclosed coffin-like environment.
Well, yeah, that might be.
35,000 feet up.
Well, no. It's an air, in flight honey.
Yeah, apparently. Now, this next story made me chuckle. Guess what kind of animal didn't want to give up his stash, basically?
A chicken.
No. Close. It's the other white meat.
A kumquat?
A feral pig.
Oh, a pig.
A feral pig was caught eating cannabis, and it refused to give up its stash.
Surprise.
Yes. If police thought they had their work cut out catching criminals, then they will be alarmed to hear they may also have to start keeping tabs on feral pigs. Now, when officers in Queensland, Australia, responded to reports of a disturbance at one of the properties, they were shocked to find a felonious pig doing drugs.
My.
Sounds like a porn movie.
Felonious officers, pig doing drugs.
Yes. Officers observed leafy material, police spokesman told Daily Mail Australia. The feral animal, which is being kept in an enclosed pen, was actually munching on what turned out to be a 1.6 meter high cannabis plant. It's pretty tall.
Wow. Yeah, right. Wow.
It wasn't a waste of police time, however, as it led to officers searching the property located in a small locality of Meringandan West, and they discovered 140 grams of marijuana.
Oh, my.
So they couldn't immediately seize the plant, though, because it was in the process of being consumed.
True, that's true.
And it was a pretty large-ass pig. So they had to later come back to the property. A 44-year-old man was charged with producing and possessing cannabis. But apparently this was not the first pig to get in trouble with police.
Oh.
Yeah. Earlier in the year, French police, now it's obviously on the opposite side of the world, but weird, they were forced to taser a pig that ran amok in a crowd.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So I don't know what's going on with pigs, but you know what? Yeah, watch where you put your plants.
Watch where you stick your piggies.
Yeah. Yeah. Really crazy.
That is awesome.
You know, but I want to go back to the whole naked man thing. That
okay, you know, okay. So let's go back to the naked man thing. Yeah, you're really stuck. I mean, we've got plenty of time. We've got right. plenty of time. We got about 7 minutes. We can discuss the naked man thing. You know, I that is strange. Do they have a picture? So, do they have a picture on the news feed of this person?
Let's take a look.
Oh my.
His name is Richard Dean DeFutis.
Huh. Yes, kind of a cute picture. Redneck. Kind of a cute redneck. I mean, I wouldn't kick him out of bed, but I guess if he was standing with a knife over me, then maybe I'd have
Yeah, to well, sitting on top of you with a knife over you.
Well, yeah. No, who knows? Sitting on top of a man.
Now, apparently, it was drugs. He had to be on drugs.
Well, maybe, yeah. I would hope so. Or he's just totally freaking batshit crazy. Pick one.
Yeah. Now, I'm seriously though, I'm hoping it's not cannabis, because I don't think cannabis would make me want to steal things.
See, that's the thing. I don't. Is that something somebody high on pot could do? Yes. But you'd have to have some other type of drug as well. Because the whole thing is, if you're high on pot, you're unlikely going. I mean, I'm not saying that people that are stoned don't break into houses. I mean, it is very possible that could happen. But this dude seemed to be tripping in some way, in a way that pot does not provide.
Exactly.
More like either shrooms or it's probably, honestly, it was probably like ecstasy or acid, I would think.
Or it could be meth. That's another possibility.
That is true. That is very true.
Yeah, you know, and it's even stranger, you know, because it turns into a sexual crime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's now, it's first degree sex abuse in terms of just, now you're labeled a sex criminal.
Well,
so you're just, you know, no, it's not crazy. Right that you're a thief, but now you have this additional thing on top of it, and
so did the husband.
Yeah. You know, there's never a shortage of interesting, crazy news. We have kind of skewed away from political coverage. But as you know, Bernie Sanders is getting pretty strong out there.
Yeah, he is. He is. Again, he's been making the rounds in the news.
And, of course, the Republicans recently had a debate apparently on CNBC, which I didn't even bother to try to catch it.
Mm.
But apparently they are all complaining and bitching and moaning and whining that the debate questions were not geared the right way. And it's like, come on, folks. Just take a look at your candidates. You know, look who's trying to run for your nomination.
Well, and that's kind of what I didn't really understand either. Because I'm kind of like, I don't know. You're like, oh, the questions. I mean, what was their biggest complaint about the questions? I didn't really try to keep up with it too much because
that they weren't focused on solutions to the current problems. They were more of a jabbing nature.
I see.
Were designed to evoke a response that probably increased ratings for CNBC. Who knows? Now, I really thought in the Democratic debate, Anderson Cooper did do a decent job of trying to get some hard, pointed, reaching questions. The very first Fox debate for the Republicans, that was a joke. Complete joke. It made no sense.
Okay.
Made no sense at all.
I don't think I caught that one.
Yeah, I was able to catch parts of that one. It was a shit show. It was just them fighting and declaring whose personality had the highest stink rating. I don't know.
Interesting.
Now, in terms of cannabis, my preferred candidate of choice, which is Bernie Sanders, he is open and probably would vote for ending prohibition of cannabis, and that is a very good thing.
Yeah, well, he does seem to have kind of this gravitation towards making weed not such a federally criminal offense. He still seems to throw it more in the state's courts, which I kind of get, and I'm fine with that. I think that's a reasonable thing to do, and I think, you know, we have a couple of states now that are kind of molding the model and trying to figure out how does this work? How are we distributing it and regulating it in the best way? Can we do better? And I think those are kind of the litmus test for the rest of the states in the country and being like, well, you know, if Colorado and Washington and Oregon now is, so, I mean, if they can all do this, then, you know, clearly the other states can do it as well. And give us that ability to kind of manage and massage the whole process. So I'm all about the states because I think eventually it's going to come down on the states and the states are going to be fine with it because A, it's a tax revenue and it's not something that's any worse and maybe even less so worse than alcohol and definitely far less issue bearing than a lot of the other shit out there, like the bath salts and the freaking meth and the coke, and you know, there's so much more out there that will fuck you up more so than weed. Weed is, to me, weed is my glass of white wine at the end of the day.
Well, and folks, that's your latest Shyampa news. Do you want to be a part of our unique on-air experience? Because I know I love this unique on-air experience. Give us a call at 813-327-8566, or you can visit us at facebook.shyampa.info. If you're listening to us on a recast, feel free to leave us a voicemail, and we'll play your message on the air. We're going to go and take care of some business here, so stay tuned for Joe's Retromercials flashback during our break, and we'll be back in about 7.5 minutes or so. We got a special guest coming up, too.
Yeah, we got a special guest. We'll be back. We'll be back soon, so just hang tight.
Hey, it's Joe Wisdom. You're tuned in to WEED, Chicago, Tampa, Shyampa Radio.
Milking our bandwidth for all it's worth with Shoutcast Streaming Audio.
The View from Planet Nancy.
Hello, I'm Nancy Casey. On behalf of April, National Poetry Month, we bring you the following message. It is better to procrastinate your taxes by writing poems than it is to procrastinate your poems by doing your taxes. Something you can ask yourself while you're writing those poems. When you lift your foot, does your tax dollar help you to set it down in a direction you want to go? Does your tax dollar have a map? Does your tax dollar know how to drive? Is your tax dollar sane? Is your tax dollar sober? Is your tax dollar a threat to civilization as we know it? Does your tax dollar sort? Does your tax dollar abort? Does your tax dollar foster your health? Is your tax dollar merry and gay? Does your tax dollar look up your bum? Does your tax dollar go gently through the night to swim upstream and glisten in river bottom gravel? Tax dollar of the morning, give us this day. Tax dollar of trespass, go home. Tax dollar of sunshine, melt ice in jail. Tax dollar of somebody else's luck, spill. Tax dollar of sophistication, your daily bread. Tax dollar of delirium, shut up and sing. Tax dollar of memory, bring down the buckets and pour your heavy rubies onto the gates of regret. May your tax dollar forget to ride with the night lord of the drone basement. May your tax dollar forget to shoot children in their beds. May your tax dollar forget to hogtie and taser the suspicious. May your tax dollar forget to surveil you. May your tax dollar forget to remove Sherman Alexie from Arizona libraries. May your tax dollar forget to remove Sandra Cisneros and Howard Zinn. May your tax dollar forget to remove its hoodie and its hat. May your tax dollar forget to ridicule. May your tax dollar lose its spin. May your tax dollar deliver a letter to the mailbox of Vincent Van Gogh. May your tax dollar bring back Trayvon Martin. May your tax dollar bring back Otto Zem. May your tax dollar create silence where people can listen. May your tax dollar spread kindness in its wake. We cry out to you, O tax dollar. Tax dollar, intercede for us. Tax dollar, hear our plea. Tax dollar, what have you done? Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. Tax dollar, quitolis peccata mundi. Tax dollar, secula seculorum. Tax dollar, et ne nos inducas in tentationem. Tax dollar, et in terra pax hominibus. Orate fratres textala, agitorium nostrum textala, dignum et justum est textala, sicut erat in principio textala, quoniam tu solus sanctus textala, tu solus altimus textala, sed tantum dic verbo textala, et cum spiritu tuo textala, textala, tell us the truth. Textala, textala, where are you going? Textala, textala, now you are spent. That's The View from Planet Nancy. Thank you for listening, and I'll be seeing you and your textala in orbit.
Transcripts of this and other editions of The View from Planet Nancy are available at authornancycasey.com, where you can also sign up for a podcast and leave your comments. The View from Planet Nancy is produced with help from Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, and at krfp.org. Music by Kevin MacLeod.
Hello, everybody. This is Joe, your host on WEED Cheyenne for Radio. Do you miss those commercials that we used to broadcast? You know, some of those retro commercials for Alka-Seltzer and Kent Cigarettes and Philip Morris? Well, tonight, in Joe's retro commercials, we bring them to you here on WEED Cheyenne for Radio.
Special, the beer will pour. Must say something more somehow. So tonight, let it be low and proud.
Let it be low and proud.
It's been so long. Gee, I'm glad to see you. Raise your glass. Here's to health and happiness. So tonight. Let it be all the best.
When you're with good friends having good times, don't just have a beer, have a low and brown. Because good friends and good times deserve the taste of a great beer. And there's really only one, low and brown.
Tonight, let it be low and brown.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease and just a halls, white sidewall tires, and old golf balls.
Sinks, stoves, bathtubs, he'll do. He'll even help clean laundry, too.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Can he clean a kitchen sink?
Quicker than a wink.
Can he clean a window sash?
Faster than a flash.
Can he clean a dirty mirror?
He'll make it bright and clearer.
Can he clean a diamond ring?
Mr. Clean cleans anything.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
By the hand with a fresh biscuit sandwich.
Now, back to some ass-kicking shiznit from Nullsoft Shoutcast.
Thing with the speakerphone then, ladies and gentlemen. Leslie, you there?
Yes, I am.
Gentlemen, Leslie, okay, can you say that one more time?
I am here. My name is Leslie.
Okay, Anthony, you got that okay?
Yeah, we're good. Go ahead.
Okay. So, well, welcome back, everybody. Hey, Anthony, I'm excited. We have a guest on the line. Folks, I'd like to introduce Leslie Kahn. She is a medical cannabis activist and blogger with Chicago Now. She's known there as Soapbox Mama. And in a moment, we'll take a few questions with Leslie. If you have a question for us or for Leslie, feel free to give us a call at 813-327-8566. So, hey, Leslie, it's Joe here. How's it going? And give us a little background info on yourself.
Well, I'm a licensed massage therapist, and I'm a mom. I have an adopted teenage son and a British husband, and I have been blogging for a few years, and I blogged about my son who has special needs. It was my therapy, and I kind of got to the end of that because things got much better, and I somehow found my way to blogging about medical marijuana. It's something that I advocate and am very excited about what's going on in our state, in across the U.S. and worldwide. There's a really push to decriminalize, legalize, and make it available for people. It's very exciting what's going on. I've been blogging about medical cannabis for about 6 months. And I have met all kinds of really amazing people who are as passionate about it as I am. And some of these people have become my friends. So it's really an amazing thing that's going on.
Well, that's great to hear. And yeah, we are also following a lot of the different news articles coming out and the different laws coming through. But we've got a few questions for you, if you don't mind. How does that sound?
Sure. And okay. Can I just make one comment?
Sure.
Today was actually a very exciting date. In Illinois, the medical cannabis cards were mailed, and patients have started receiving them. So this is a very long time coming, and a lot of my fellow advocates have been working on this for years now, because in Illinois, the program actually started on January 1st, 2014. So we are almost 2 years behind, and the first medicine has been grown, produced, processed, bagged, and now it's being tested for quality, and it should be on the shelves within the next 2 weeks. Dispensaries are opening, so it's a very exciting time for people that have worked so hard for so long.
That is exciting news to hear. I have heard that it's pretty difficult to get one of those cards. So do you think doctors are going to be willing to prescribe the medicine, or is it going to be sort of a really tough game?
It is. It's probably the biggest hurdle that patients have to jump in order to get a card. I'm hoping that once the program is up and running and people are buying medicine and they are showing their doctors the benefits, that this will help other doctors to realize that it's a good thing, that it's not scary, because they seem afraid. They've been threatened by their lawyers, they've been threatened by their healthcare systems, they've been told not to recommend it, and they cannot use the word prescribe. It's a recommendation.
There's
no there's no prescribing in Illinois. Doctors recommend. That's actually the word that has to be used. So, and I made that mistake. I did one of my earlier blogs was about prescribing, and I was taken to task and told, nope, can't use the word prescribe. It's recommend.
Huh.
So, yeah, it's very interesting what's going on. But I think it's more a question of ignorance. Doctors, well, they're afraid because there's the federal law is still in place. Despite the fact that it's legal in Illinois, but federally, it is still illegal. So this is scaring a lot of doctors.
It's a lot of uncharted territory, too, especially when you then mix in some financials. But I wanted to ask you, what is the biggest hurdle that you see in overcoming the social myths about cannabis and the use of it, especially by medical marijuana patients?
I think the fact that they are breaking a federal law. I think this is still putting a lot of people off. Then there's the whole business with the gateway drug. And I know you've heard that. I've heard it. I mean, we've heard it since the 1970s that cannabis is a gateway drug to heroin. heroin and crystal meth and, you know, blah, 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 which is so untrue. And then there's the perception that you have to smoke it and that you get stoned, which is not true. You can smoke it and you can get stoned, but particularly with medical marijuana, there are many other alternatives, and actually there are more efficient ways to consume it, which do not involve smoking.
There's like edibles and oils and quite a few other things.
Topicals.
Yeah.
Yes, there's tinctures, there's topicals, there's even something called transdermal patches.
Is that like the patch for nicotine users?
Exactly.
Okay.
Right, exactly right. Yes, and that's very new technology, so those are just coming out. But you put it on your wrist, and it dispenses the medicine directly into your bloodstream, and it lasts between 8 and 12 hours.
Okay.
So that's new and exciting technology.
Yeah, you know, that leads me into my next question. What do you think the state of medical cannabis will be in the next 2 to 10 years, say, down the road? Will there be a long hurdle to getting the federal government to end prohibition?
Yes, yeah. I think so. I mean, that's what everybody's been telling me. I just in the last 6 months of just watching what is going on in Illinois, although Illinois is one of the most restricted states for patients, we're the only state that requires fingerprinting. They really have made patients jump through hoops to get their cards. But everybody tells me that it's going to be a state-by-state thing that's eventually going to push it over into a federal law. And that's how it's going to be. So it's so hard to say what's going to happen. In Illinois, we have a pilot program, which was supposed to start almost 2 years ago and is supposed to end on January 1st, 2017.
So it's like it's a year and a half from now.
Right. We were given another four-month extension, although advocates were pushing for another 2 years, but the governor only extended it another 4 months. Which means that it will be assessed. In April of 2018, there will be an assessment of how well the Illinois pilot program is working. And somebody is going to make a decision that yay or nay, that it can continue or not.
So all of this work could be for naught if yes. Rahner decides, you know, screw it.
It is, and he's pretty lukewarm about the whole thing, and not to mention the fact that he's really been playing political chess with the cannabis patients.
Yes.
You know, he's really using that against the Democratic Senate and the House of Representatives, sadly. You know, it's so hard to say what else is going to be going on. There's so many different things going on. I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's happening in Ohio. They are looking to legalize both medicinal and recreational.
Yes.
But it's almost sort of like a consortium of 10 people who clearly have a lot of money. It's kind of almost sort of like a monopoly, although I guess 10, you know. I guess you can't call it a monopoly. One, I guess a monopoly is one. It's 10. But in any case, so 10 very wealthy people have collectively got together, and if this passes, then they will have the right to grow and process and distribute. So I guess it's better than nothing. I guess it's better than it not happening. But then we have states like Missouri where it's CBD oil only. So the CBD oil is...
it's the non-THC.
Correct.
Right.
That's correct.
Right.
A cannabinoids.
Thank you, because I could never pronounce that word. Cannabinoids. Thank you.
Cannabinoids. It's a very difficult word, yes. And you know, that, so something like...
I wanted to ask you, you had a blog post about using correct words, and I know... I've never really heard you say really weed or pot. So what is it about the word that, that makes it important, I guess?
Cannabis has been around for, some people say, 10,000 years. It has been used medicinally, and it became illegal in 1937 in this country. A man named Harry J. Anslinger, who was the new director of the Bureau of Narcotics, came up with this brilliant plan because essentially he was a racist. He was a racist against Mexicans who smoked marijuana. And he passed this thing called the Marijuana Tax Stamp Act of 1937. So up until 1937, cannabis was prevalent in most medicines. It was a component of nearly all medicines.
Wow.
And then in 1937, all of a sudden it became illegal. It was this cockamamie thing with this. He had to have a federal tax stamp, and in order to get the stamp, he had to have the marijuana, which was illegal. So it was kind of a catch-22
right.
thing. Right. And it was really a way of keeping Mexicans from crossing the border and taking jobs away from white people. They scapegoated Mexicans who smoke marijuana, and it's really become a kind of a derogatory word. And then in 1970, this Tax Stamp Act, became unconstitutional, which was great, except it was replaced by the Controlled Substance Act of 1970, which was designed to hide facts about marijuana. Now, there's something called the drug list, the substance list.
Right.
And there's different numbers. And Schedule 1, on which marijuana still to this day remains, is categorized as dangerous with no medicinal value. And it is there alongside of heroin, LSD, mescaline, ecstasy,
wow.
GHB, quaaludes, bath salts, and there's marijuana sitting there just waiting to be taken off.
And you know what? That makes me angry because here we are doing a very productive podcast and they would claim that we're dangerous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. I mean, and if marijuana was taken off the Schedule 1 drug list, that would change everything.
Yes,
that
it would
open up all of, you know, all the doctors would be less fearful. There would be more research because, you know, everybody keeps claiming, well, it's against the law of the federal law.
Yeah.
So that would really change things if it got off the Schedule 1 list, and Bernie Sanders is claiming, if he's elected, that he will get it off the Schedule 1 list.
I believe him. So I believe him.
So let's vote for him. Yay.
Yay. Well, Leslie, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight. This has been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for both of us, I hope.
My pleasure.
Yes.
I love talking about cannabis. So anyway, I guess I didn't even answer the question. So the medical community wants to differentiate between medical cannabis, which is medicine, and marijuana, which is recreational and something that you smoke and you get stoned. Not that that doesn't have a place, but it's trying to give it some street cred. Let's put it that way. It's trying to get, or not actually, that's not the right term at all. It's trying to give it a scientific value.
Got it.
So that's why we use the word cannabis rather than marijuana.
But I do notice it goes cannabis and then medicine. And I think that's, you know, that's appropriate.
Right, exactly. And, you know, constantly we see the media called referring to them as pop shop, pop shops, and weed, and marijuana, and pot clinics. And it's really too bad because there's a stigma still. You know, there are a lot of closeted cannabis users to this day.
Yeah.
Because of the federal law. People are scared. There are cases of there's a case of a woman who has Crohn's disease who uses medical cannabis in a state where it's not legal, and she had her son taken away. She lost custody of her son, and she's being indicted for criminal behavior.
Wow.
Which is terrible.
Wow.
And all she's doing is keeping herself well so she can live a decent life and parent her child. So.
It's important that that people know cannabis is an important medicine, and it's hard to reconcile the fact that you have all these pills out there and you're paying so much money for it. And right over the rainbow, as I like to think of it, is this medicine that can really help a person. And why we're not there yet, it's extremely frustrating. And, you know, I see that too from your blog posts. It's a struggle. It's a big struggle. And it's kind of interesting, though, just in a societal way, we're coming to a period of enlightenment, and we're starting to rediscover knowledge, I think, that we've lost. And there's a lot of people scared because they knew this knowledge, but they're trying to profit from drugs.
Very much so. Yeah. I mean, the medicinal value of cannabis has actually been known since the late 1940s. There was a Hungarian scientist who emigrated to Israel after the war, and he's been doing research on cannabis since 1949. And he discovered the endocannabinoid system and, you know, how it all works and the receptors and the cannabinoids and all the different components and the compounds. The fact that there's over 400 compounds in cannabis. And this information has been kept from people for the last 60 years, because there's so much to be gained by the pharmaceutical industry. There's so much money to be made. And, you know, not to mention the fact that all of the deaths from opiates, people dying from overdoses, nobody has ever died from an overdose of cannabis. So, but the struggle continues, and there are a lot of people out there who are, you know, we're gonna struggle, and we're gonna continue until we change the law.
Something that struck me, that I was reading some of the side effects of taking a drug like Xanax, for instance, for anxiety and such. And you know, one of the things, if you stop taking that drug, you could have a really bad episode, and that sounds scary.
Yeah.
Whereas with medical cannabis, you stop taking it, there is nothing that happens. There's nothing that's going to cause you to die. And that's
correct. That is correct. You don't have to wean yourself off of it.
Right.
And, yeah.
And I don't.
And it's very frustrating.
Yeah.
That we are where we are in 2015, but we are where we are. So we just, there's a lot of people out there who are very impassioned, as am I.
So, what other topics do you like to cover on your blog? Because, by the way, we have a link to your blog on our blog at cheyampa.info.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Oh, I just write about whatever. I wrote a thing about Kim Davis. You remember Kim Davis?
Do we ever?
I just write if I feel impassioned about something. But a lot of the time I do try and stick to my my cannabis theme, because I feel that there's a lot of people who are stigmatized. Still, there are a lot of closeted cannabis users. In fact, I wrote, this man approached me through my blog. He found me through my blog. And this guy was a closeted cannabis user. And I gave him the courage to go find a doctor who was willing to recommend. Which is just an amazing feeling to be helping people through my writing. There's nothing better than that. So I've written posts of success stories of people. I have a friend in California. She was suicidal and on so many prescription drugs for 30 years. And her son said, "You've got to stop taking these here. Smoke some cannabis," and she did. And now she's the hugest advocate, and she has gotten off all the prescription medications. She only uses cannabis. She's now on a radio program, the Cannabis Corner in California. It's just fabulous. I just love her. She's so impassioned as well, and she wants to share her experience. So it's, people who find it that way, that were on death's door to some extent, some people. And then like they were reborn, it's been life changing for them. They are the biggest advocates and the most passionate. And they just want to share their experience with others.
Yeah. And that to me is a story, if anything, to, just take this drug off the schedule one. But listen, Leslie, we've got some business to take care of. We've loved having you on the show tonight.
Thank you so much.
We encourage everyone to go check out Soapbox Mama on chicagonow.com, I believe.
Yes.
And where else can we find you?
Just there.
Okay.
I'm hoping to be writing for other publications, but at the moment, I'm just on Chicago Now.
Excellent, excellent. So, well, we're going to keep in touch with you because maybe we can do some cross-pollination with the Sharampa blog, too. But thank you very much, and you have a wonderful evening.
My pleasure. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, that was a fantastic interview, although strange and not planned and how we wanted it to be, but that was still a phenomenal interview.
Leslie, thank you so much for coming on the show. You were actually our very first guest. That's amazing. That's awesome.
And as much as you want to think that it's going to work, it still breaks.
Yeah.
But
that's
what happens. But we prevailed and we moved forward. And we will give you your Florida news. We'll just give it to you in our third trimester. We'll give it to you after this question.
In one of those segment B things.
Segment B. We'll give it to you in segment C. So hang tight, folks. We'll be back in about 5 minutes.
You're listening to Sciampa Weed Radio, Chicago, Tampa, Sciampa Radio.
Be careful where you place your implements. Hello there, this is Joe Wisdom, and I had an accident recently with one of my implements. I thought I placed it on a stable surface, but alas, I didn't. And I had spillage everywhere on my glass table. Sometime later, I cleaned it, of course, but I designated an area of the table with a special round disc. This has been another Joe Wisdom. Stay tuned for another one in just a few moments.
Radio Free Internet, sponsored by Nullsoft Shoutcast.
You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether.
This is Tom Rowe with the radio news about radio waves. After talking about saving AM radio for the past 2 years, Federal Communications Commission released its AM radio revitalization report and order October 23rd. Plan to save AM radio is finally here, and the answer is largely to move AM stations onto the FM band. Chairman Tom Wheeler, a Democrat, said the order will, quote, ease regulatory burdens on AM broadcasters and address practical problems and interference-related issues that have long plagued AM stations, unquote. Commissioner Ajit Pai, the Republican leading the charge to bring back old-time AM radio, released a statement with Commissioner Mignon Clyburn that said the order, quote, acknowledges the realities of the upcoming incentive auction and the need for immediate relief for AM stations, unquote. That means he's happy commercial AM broadcasters are going to have their way on the FM frequencies through translator auctions. Now, the commission will next year allow AM licensees to acquire an FM translator, even relocating one from up to 250 miles away if necessary. The next year, the FCC will hold more translator auctions windows for AM broadcasters. Many other minor actions were taken to save AM radio, but the biggest is this translator giveaway, which may preclude or preempt low-power FM stations and room for more non-commercial voices. This is Tom Rowe for Waveform Radio and WGXC.
What happens when you give two stoners their own internet radio show?
2015. And now for the weather. Anthony, how is it in San Juan?
You know, I had us muted for that whole intro. Wait, let's try this again. Can you do Betty again, or will that be too much?
No, it's fine.
All right, hold on. All right, here we go. Hold on. All right, get it ready.
Mm-hmm. Monday nights, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, only on Cheyenne Radio.
Here's big news. With Sears' great low prices every single day throughout the store, you'll find outstanding values like never before. Imagine an AT&T 1300 answering machine with one-touch playback of messages, call screening, and remote turn-on from any touch-tone phone for the great price of $58.88. That's only $58.88, a fantastic Sears price for a fantastic AT&T answering machine. So check it out at Sears, where you get your money's worth and a whole lot more.
When you get hold of the Nintendo Entertainment System, when you master Rob, the video robot, and meet the challenge of Gyromite, when you shoot the light-sensing Zapper, when you play the system with so many arcade hits, you're playing with power. Nintendo Entertainment System Deluxe Set. Batteries not included. Other games sold separately. Your parents help you hook it up.
You know how they say the best part of waking up is that first cup of coffee? I don't think so. I say the best part of waking up is going to the bathroom and going pee, and then going right straight back to bed.
You've been listening to another Joe Wisdom. Do you have a wisdom? Give us a jingle at 813-327-8566. Leave your wisdom and your name, and whether you'd like us to broadcast.
Now, I like chicken and a biscuit.
From Null Soft Shoutcast.
All right.
That was an awesome segment. I loved you, Leslie. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Folks, Anthony's got some really crazy wicked news coming up for you right now.
Yeah, we're gonna have some Florida news. Well, just a few moments. We can warm up for about, you know, a few minutes here. I
needed to warm up.
Some dessert here.
That was technically interesting. Every show gets better. That's why I love doing this, because it challenges me to think outside of the box. It challenges me to be more detail-oriented and to try to be productive. And that's important, I think.
No, definitely. Most definitely.
We got some Joe Wisdoms coming up for you a little bit later, too.
Oh, sweet. We love Joe's, absolutely love Joe Wisdoms.
Yes. I think that will be in segment C. I wanted to give a quick shout-out to the radioforall.net website. They're awesome. They
We love
they
your radio.
They host
for
our
all.
Content or they host our info. People download. You can go there and check out all different kinds of cool programs. I picked up an album recently, actually, because of something I listened to off of there. So, you know, it's that kind of thing that helps spur a little bit of commerce, too, is when you listen to something cool.
Something and, cool and awesome.
You know, sometimes you don't find cool things on the radio dial or even on iTunes, on podcasts. Granted, there's a lot of cool stuff out there, but, you know, sometimes you gotta go outside the box a little, and I think we're one of those outside of the box kind of things.
I think we are one of those outside of the box types of things.
Boy, so much cool stuff. Check out our blog. Give us a call. You know, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 813-327-8566.
Brian is willing to be a guinea pig.
Really?
Yeah, let me call him.
We're going to have another guest, ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe. For a brief moment, he's on his way to a date.
This is the date line.
All right, let's see if this... See if he answers or not. I think he's on a booty call.
Well,
I think blinky blinky no answer.
Yeah.
Well, that was like 10 minutes ago that I was gonna call him.
But hey, I also have another really cool thing to announce. We're gonna be probably in a couple weeks, we're going to have some really new program material. One of our cool DJs, DJ Sinhappy out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, he's going to be sending us some really cool sets, so look for that to come soon.
Where will we expect to see this on the schedule? Where are we thinking that's going to fit in?
What
are
we thinking of?
What are we going to run that at?
Friday night.
All
Friday
right.
or Sunday night.
Okay.
You know, so when you want to go out to pre-club a little bit and you want to hear some really cool and danceable beats.
All right. Yeah, we can squeeze them in there.
Yep. So, hey, Anthony, you got some crazy news?
I sure do after I'm finished eating this piece of cake.
Folks, I had some broadcast cookies that I was really trying to save. Delicious Italian M&M cookies. I have two left, and I'm not touching them.
No.
I'm refusing to touch them.
No, not at all.
Nope.
All right.
But here we go. Anthony's got some news for you, folks.
This one comes from the Florida Times Union. Yes, the Florida Times Union. All right. So when police showed up at the door of Leanne Hun, 30, and Ryan Patrick Budista, 34, to execute several arrest warrants, Leanne's response was only one that could be found in Florida. A Jacksonville Sheriff's Officer SWAT was called, or officer. A Jacksonville Sheriff's Office SWAT team was called to Leanne and Ryan's home on Wednesday night after they received a tip that there was a wanted felon inside the residence. When police arrived at the residence after 9:30 that evening to make the arrests, two unrelated women were inside the residence to celebrate a birthday and wanted to leave, but Ryan and Leanne forced them to stay inside and would not let police enter.
We have a story about that, actually.
We now have a hostage situation. So naturally, hostage negotiations were called in, and neighbors reported hearing bullhorns sounding throughout the night during the long standoff. When at one point, Leanne told police over the phone that she would give up. However, she wanted to have sex with Ryan one last time. She hung up, but never came out.
Oh my.
Eventually, police ended the standoff when they forced their way into the residence and arrested Leanne and Ryan shortly after 4 a.m. So this started around 10 o'clock in the evening and ended at 4 a.m. the next day. Both were charged with resisting arrest without violence and false imprisonment. Ryan was wanted on several warrants, including armed burglary. Isn't that lovely, folks?
just awkward.
It's just amazing. Simply amazing.
The things we do for cheap pleasure.
Something. All right. This one comes from the Orlando Sentinel. Carjackings happen everywhere, but sometimes when they happen in Florida, they're a little more special than your run-of-the-mill carjackings. I mean, right? It's got to be Florida.
Yeah.
So a woman was waiting for her boyfriend in a black Chevrolet Malibu parked in the driveway of a home in West Orlando when a man tapped on the car window asking, "Where your old man at?" The woman said she called her boyfriend inside the home and told him two men were outside looking for him. But as soon as he came out, the two men pulled out and pointed guns at the couple. They forced the woman out of the vehicle, got in, and drove away. In the process of being forcefully removed from the car, the woman's iPhone fell out of her pocket and into the car. How convenient. Isn't that just sneaky?
Very.
Absolutely. So when the police were called, they used the Find My iPhone app to track the phone's location. And within a few hours, they located the car heading into South Apopka.
Yeah. Chevy Malibu.
Yeah, so that, exactly. I had two different ones.
Yeah.
An Orange County Sheriff's Office helicopter was called and subsequently spotted and followed the vehicle as officers caught up with it on street level. Police said the helicopter watched the men bail out on Leroy Court in Acapulco and ran. They were caught and arrested after a short search, police said. De'Arius Moore and Michael Wiley, both 19, are facing charges of armed carjacking, aggravated assault, and use of a firearm during a felony, according to police. Court records show that this is De'Arius's. Is that how you would pronounce it? De'Arius's fourth arrest.
Get that name. That is kind of an awesome name.
De'Arius's. Okay, well, I don't. Well, then you better learn how to pronounce it when you punctuate it like that. De'Arius's fourth arrest in Orange County this year. He was out on bail from an arrest in March on burglary charges when Orlando police arrested him in the carjacking incident. Both are being held in Orange County jail. Yeah. All right.
Crazy people.
I know. All right. So I'm going to kind of plow through this one, too. All right. I'm going to try at least. All right. So this comes from the Florida Sun Sentinel. There are often many protocols that good thieves follow. Unfortunately, a Palm Beach couple completely misunderstood the concept of being a thief and leaving their calling card when they decided to steal jewelry from an art gallery. Megan O'Hara, 24, and David Ziskowski, 19, walked into the Attila JK exhibition at the ICFA Gallery in Palm Beach on Sunday and took a bracelet and a ring belonging to the exhibition's owner and the artist. The artist said the jewelry was sitting on a desk in the gallery and that combined the items worth about $6,000. So pretty pricey.
Hopefully it's insured.
I would hope so. Well, yeah. Well, there's more. There's more to the story. So the victim gave police a description of Megan and David. When one officer, I have been smoking. When one officer had noticed he had seen the Duro. Hold on.
We're having linguistic difficulties. I can finish it if you like. Or maybe not. The victim gave police a description of Megan and David when one officer noted he had seen the duo hanging around Palm Beach. While police were canvassing the area, the couple was spotted in a nearby Publix.
When confronted, Megan told police she had the items in her purse. She gave the officers the ring and the bracelet. I almost said the nugget. The ring and the bracelet. And subsequently, she and David were arrested. As officers arrived back to the gallery, the artist said he had noticed something in the gallery's guest book. someone had written multiple fake email entries into the guest book, including one that said, "We didn't take it at gmail.com, according to the arrest report. Two of the fake emails included the name Meg, and one included her actual phone number next to it.
Wow.
So even if they didn't find them, they were going to find them. Also on the page was a drawing of male genitalia and a woman's face labeled Meg. Later at Palm Beach County Jail, David told investigators he and Megan were the ones who put the entries in the guest book and again admitted to taking the jewelry. If I knew that they had cost that much, I wouldn't have taken it, Megan said. They are charged with grand penile drawings on the webcam and were released from Palm Beach County Jail later on Sunday. All right, let's go. All right, here's an interesting one. As always, there has to be an interesting one. All right, so this comes from Orlando News Channel 13, exclusively from Bright House Networks. Rubbing grease all over your naked body in preparation for some freakish adult fun is a great idea. But using a grease trap to get your munchies on,
ew,
not so much. Meet Chad Winslow. Chad broke into Sam's discount food store on Acapulco Boulevard. What the fuck is it with Acapulco tonight? By sliding through a grease trap on the store's roof. Which is interesting. I never knew you'd have a grease trap on there. Maybe for the ventilation. In the process of breaking into the store, he tripped to the burglar alarm. The Orange County deputy who responded said he saw Winslow, 34, stuck in one of the windows.
Ew.
The deputy's arrest report said that Chad told the deputy that he was stuck, could not move, and had to take a poop. The deputy helped Chad out of the window and took him into custody. Chad initially agreed to an interview, but later backed out, but did not withhold providing enough information to the arresting officer. According to the report, Chad tried to steal two dirty magazines and three packs of cigarettes. Chad didn't go after the cash register. Instead, he drank some juice and grabbed a ham sandwich before realizing all of the doors and windows were covered with bars. That was when he tried to squeeze back through the grease trap and got stuck.
What a creep.
Yeah, exactly. So, this is the stuff you only see on TV, said Orange County deputy. But this is real life. It really happens. The deputy stated he could see a white male stuck halfway through the window as he approached the scene. The deputy approached the man and identified himself as a police officer. Chad told the deputy, I'm stuck and I have to take a poop. Chad's feet were still inside the store, his upper torso stuck outside. Chad had several cuts and scrapes on his arms and legs. He was taken to Florida Hospital Acapulco to be treated for his injuries and then to Orange County Jail, where he was locked up on 3750 bond. Chad was charged with burglary, criminal mischief, and petty theft. And they misspell it all the time as petite theft. Isn't that interesting?
Petite theft.
This is copy, and I didn't even notice that until I was just doing that. So yeah, stuck in a grease trap.
Wow. That's pretty gross.
We're just going to kind of ride this wave out for about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to get your drill wisdoms next time. Unfortunately, we kind of ran long with the interview, which is fine. Good interview, though. So
I think Betty wanted to say something, though.
Oh, sure, Betty. What do you want to say?
Fucking dumbass world we live in. Good. Right. Anthony, thank you, Annabas. You are tuned into
WEED Chiampa.
Do you want to be a part of our unique on-air experience? Give us a call at 813-327-8566 or visit us at facebook.shampa.info. If you are listening to us on a recast, feel free to leave us a voicemail and we will play your message in a future cast. And now, back to you, Anthony.
Thanks, Betty.
Yeah.
That was awesome. As I munch on my pretzels.
Mm-hmm. I just finished the last of the cookies. Well, folks, we had a wonderful show tonight. We got a few minutes. We're going to still be here with you. But it was awesome hearing from Leslie. If you want to give her a follow, go to chicagonow.com, type in Soapbox Mama, or you can just go right to Chiampa.info, and I got a link right there on the top of our page. This cookie is good. It's an M&M cookie.
Is it now?
Mm-hmm.
It's freaking awesome. I like M&M cookies.
Well, right down Grand Avenue, there's a bakery. It's D'Amato's Bakery. And they have cannolis and cookies and chocolate cake cookies and these delicious pizza things. And they have sandwiches and all kinds of really good stuff. You know, it's the kind of comfort food kind of place.
Okay. That
you really can appreciate. I don't know if I would consider food like banh mi sandwiches or sushi to be comfort food. Like today, for instance, I went to Beef and Brandy, and I had the country fried steak. It was comfortable. It was, that to me is comfort food.
All American comfort food, the country fried steak. Mm-hmm. With the nondescript, slightly brown, slightly orange gravy. Gelatinous gravy, or was it? Do they actually have really homemade gravy?
Actually, this is homemade good gravy.
Good for them. Always been my biggest complaint about like the Greek chains. A lot of times, like that they use like the cheap gravy. So fantastic! All right, that's freaking awesome.
Well, I guess this does it for another show, huh?
We have made it through 21 with some slight mishaps here and there, but I think we did all right.
Yeah, we'll do some editing. But folks, we're glad that you were able to join us. Or if you listen to us on the recast, we'll be editing to... Yeah, whatever. please do give us a visit. Check out Radio for All. Check out Soapbox Mama. We've got a lot of cool stuff coming up for you in future casts.
Yep. And hopefully we'll fix our phone issue one of these days. So anyway... This Way Out, coming up next. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This station is being brought to you via Nullsoft Shoutcast streaming technology. For more information, visit shoutcast.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Betty. I may have been made by the Yokohama Sushi Watch and Rubber Corporation, but I belong to Shyampa Radio. I want to tell you about the Yokohama Sushi Watch and Rubber Corporation. Not only do they make me, they also make sushi, watches, and rubbers. Once, the Yokohama Sushi Watch and Rubber Corporation tried to make a combination rubber of sushi and watch unit. People were running late because they couldn't see the watch when they were fucking, and there were so many people who went to the emergency room with sushi stuck in their asshole because they used the rubber feature before consuming the sushi portion. People are such fucking idiots. It was a disaster. But one day, someone used the combination sushi, rubber, and watch unit in just the right way, and somehow I was created. The Yokohama Sushi Watch and Rubber Corporation was so embarrassed by my creation that they sold me to a shithole radio studio called Chiamba Radio, which is why I am talking to you right now, because these idiots wanted me to make a station ID for their shitty radio station. You're listening to WEED Chiamba Radio. Now, go fuck yourselves. I'm done with the shit.
Sounds for promotional, background, and other tracks are from Incompetech by Kevin MacLeod. Visit them at incompetech.com. Royalty.